Before I open my Bibles and tell you where I'm going, I'll tell you what I'm preaching on. I'm going to preach on the first Baptist missionaries. I said Baptist because I think they were, but the first Bible-believing missionaries. Now, here's the quiz. Don't cheat. You can't say it. If I talk to you about it, you can't answer it. What church sent them out? What church sent the first missionaries out? Anybody know? Huh? Where?
A local
church, but there was a specific church in a specific place. What was the place? Somebody say it loud. Who said Antioch? You are exactly right. Some of you might have thought it was Jerusalem. It was not Jerusalem. It was Antioch. By the way, this is fascinating, but the origins of our King James Bible is from Antioch.
Amen.
The other Bibles, their origin is from Alexandria, Egypt. I'd much rather have the origin of my Bible from the place where they were first called Christians. Somebody say amen. And I'm not going to get into that study tonight. I just want to get a little quiz out. To be honest with you, until I really started studying it, it didn't dawn on me. I'm going to be quite frank with you. I thought it was Jerusalem, to be honest with you. I've read this 100 times. It doesn't mean that you hit it in your face every time. Somebody say amen. So go to Acts 13. I'll introduce you to the first missionaries. Tell you how. I'm going to preach a message on tonight. Sending out missionaries, church, if you don't know it, supports over 170 missionaries. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Acts 13. Stand with me for the reading of the Word of God. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas, as the son of consolation, and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manahenim, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and notice this member of the church, and Saul. And they ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salmias, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. And they had also John to their minister, and that is John Mark, who we'll find out later got scared and left. But we won't cover that part tonight. And when they had gone through the island unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer. Now, I'm bringing this part of the message up for a reason. A false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. It's good when somebody wants to hear the
Amen.
Word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, "Oh, full of all subtlety and mischief, thou child of the devil. Boy, that doesn't sound like user-friendly preaching. I don't think you'd hear that at Joe Osteen's. Thou enemy of the righteous, all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing for the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him in the midst a darkness, and he went about seeking someone to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw that was done, what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. Father, help us as we preach this passage of Scripture. And we'll praise you and honor you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, for His sake. Amen. I personally believe a church needs to be taught the right way about every doctrine and every function we do. And I want to say this. We need to be biblical in every function that we do.
Amen, preacher.
And I'm not ashamed of what I'm about ready to tell you, but the commission, the Great Commission, was given to the local church.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
God had been saving people. God had been growing the church. Great revivals had happened. Antioch had great revival in it. And now we have this church at Antioch and these first three missionaries. I want to give you three things and I'll let you go home about this thing of church planting and this thing of local church ministry and local church ministry missions. Number one, I want you to notice first of all, a summons in Antioch. You say, where was Antioch? It was a city of Samaria, on the northern part of Samaria, located right at the border of southern Turkey. The Bible says, Acts 11:26. It's kind of ironic to me. Christians, they weren't called Christians at Jerusalem. They were called Christians at Antioch. And I want all of y'all to know this. They were not called Christians by other Christians. The enemies of the faith called them Christians. Because they were Christ-like. No wonder God chose them for us to get our King James Bible. Chose them to be the church that sent out the first missionaries. Somebody ought to praise Him.
Amen.
And somebody ought to raise your hand and shout the glory that God, and we take this so lightly in this church, that God has chose this church to send out missionaries.
Amen.
It ain't happening everywhere. Most churches are dead. Most churches don't even give the missions. Most churches don't have a faith promise. Most churches can care less. But I take seriously where it says, go ye in all the world and preach the gospel.
Amen.
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 The city, the church in the situation, they were outstanding. The composition of the church, you've seen it. Simeon, Lucius, Barnabas, Saul. How many believe that's a great congregation?
Amen.
Boy, I'll tell you something.
Yeah.
I'm going to say this to you. Sometimes the devil does this to every pastor. Shame on us for letting him cause it. He always points out that one negative person and blinds us to all the faithful people.
Amen.
Somebody help me.
Amen, preacher.
Why is it that we look at somebody that is vocal and who's negative, and think that they are the ones that count? I thank God there's a bunch of people in this room that pay your tithe. You're faithful to your missions. You love God. You love your pastor. You love the work of God. You love soul winning. You love missions. Hallelujah for all the people in this church, maybe unknown. You may think nobody knows about you, but there's a God in heaven that believes you're special.
Good preaching.
Hallelujah. If you're looking for a church, I want you to know this is a pastor that appreciates these members. This is a pastor that loves these members. This is a pastor that wants to help his membership. And secondly, I want you to notice the source of the summons. This wasn't a man-made thing. And I might get a little nasty. That's just too much man-made stuff.
Amen.
You just don't say a poof, I'm a missionary. Poof, I'm a preacher. Poof, poof, shazam. It don't happen that way. Look what the Bible said. Whew. Glory to God. In verse 13, 2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said,
amen.
The source of the summons. Who in the world told Mike and Michelle to go to an ungodly place like Welch? The Holy Ghost did.
Amen.
Who told this church to separate them two people? I'm going to tell you, God told me to separate you. God, hey, listen, you know why I'm so far invested in you? It's not because, of any earthly thing. It's because the Holy Ghost has separated you. The Holy Ghost told me to put my back into you, and I am. And if the Holy Ghost doesn't tell me, I don't care how politically corrected, connected you are, how many people love you. Listen to me. If the Holy Ghost doesn't tell me to back something, I ain't backing it. Good preaching. Look at the duty before they were selected. They ministered to the Lord. Now, I'm going to get straight again. I know people say, well, I want to be a preacher. I want you to preach me at your church. I want you to recommend me out in the public to preach. But they don't go soul winning. And some people that says they're a preacher don't even pay their tithe. How in God's name can I recommend you to preach the gospel and I'm asking my church to support this church through their tithe and offering and you don't even do it? You're not going to be preaching behind my pulpit. I don't care how talented you are, how eloquent you are. Look at me. I am tired of political correctness. I think people need to be called to God and they need to be responsible. And before they do something, they ought to be dedicated before. And that man's already proved himself 15 years. Amen. Good preaching, Reverend. I remember one time, this boy, and I didn't mean to. I helped him. He finished, he did what he wanted to do. But he came to me, and boy, this is tough. Y'all better hear it. I'm not real tough, but I am tough sometimes. This guy said, I want to go be a missionary in such and such country. I said, okay. What are you doing to prove that you ought to be able to go over there? I said, you're not even a missionary out of Taze Valley. You don't even go soul winning. I said, we've asked you to go on a bus route. You won't even go on a bus route. You're going to have to get a van over one of them foreign countries and bus your kids in, and you're too lazy to do anything now. Now, I know that straight preacher. Don't get upset at me. I knew him, and I could talk to him like that. And by the way, it popped him right on the head. Guess where he was on Thursday? Soul winning. Guess where he was Saturday? The bus thing. Guess what happened to him? He got dedicated. He's not in this church anymore. He's out doing ministry now. But I want you to know that knucklehead needed somebody to remind him if he's going to be used in a big way, he needs to be used, first of all, in a small way. Do y'all really think that God brought me to this church and snap, I'm in a big church like this? No. I started out with 18 people. And a place nobody with 37 pastors tried out for the church. They voted them all in and nobody took them. But me. And the church, when I left, went from 18 to 108 the day I left. I want to tell you, if God leads, He'll provide. So you are. Then I see the dedication before the selection. They fasted and prayed. Hey, I hope, Michael, you and Michelle fasted and prayed. I hope you got on your knees. I believe you have. Because you sure ain't wanting to go where you're going without prayer. Then the distinction in their selection, they were separate. They were separated. You know what the Holy Ghost done? It'd be like me going like this. It'd be like me coming in here saying, you're going to Asia. And you're going with him. Holy Ghost told me to separate you. Woo! That's what happened. Isn't that awesome? That wasn't a man-made thing. That wasn't mommy called daddy sense. Was it?
No.
No? I like you. That was the Holy Ghost that done that. And by the way, I like you sitting up on the front row with your Bible open. Somebody ought to help me preach before I just get shouting all over this place. Now go on. Look at the fourth thing in verse 2 also. The service in the summons. Look what it said. And they ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And that work was going to the Gentiles. Then descending. Y'all still with me? Look at descending. Now notice. First of all, the dedication for the sending. When they had fasted and prayed. Not only is the candidate supposed to fast and pray, we people in the church are supposed to fast and pray for them. Amen? Notice that. And laid their hands on them. Now, we're not going to do a Benny Hinn tonight, okay? I'm not going to bring you up here and slap you on the head and say you're healed. No, what we're going to do, our deacons and our ordained preachers, we're going to bring you up here and pray. And then we're going to lay holy hands on you. And we're going to designate you and put you accountable to this church and to the Lord. And we're going to do it by laying holy hands on you. That's Bible. Now, we're not bringing them up here to heal them. No. No, we're not going to breathe on them and slay them. That's not scriptural. We're going to lay hands on them. Then the duty in the sending, they send them away. Here's what I want you to notice. The church did not hoard their talent. I'll be honest with you. Every time one of my young preachers take off and go to a new church, I ache. Because I think, You know, we got 25 of them that went out. What if all them and their wives were here still yet and shout me down? Boy, wouldn't that be encouraging to me every week? It would be. But it'd also be selfish of me. If God has sent them out, I need to send them out. And I can't hoard the talent as much as I would like. But it ain't all about just Taze Valley. It's about the whole world. And that's bigger than any of us. I'm almost done. Let me give you two more things. And I'm only bringing these up in the context because I want you to see this. First of all, look at verse 4 and 5. See the start. Their start in Salmias. Now, first of all, they went to Seleucus, or Seleucus. That's a seaport about 10 miles northwest of where they were. They sailed out of there to Cyprus and went to the eastern side of Cyprus, which was 100 miles west of where they were, to a place called Salmias. And here's what they done. They spoke. Here's what they done. Look at the verse in verse 4 and 5. What did they preach? They preached the Word of God. What Mike and Michelle's going to do, they're going to preach the Word of God to those people in Welch. And they're going to, in this case, they preached in the synagogues. That's where most of the people gathered, Jews and Greeks. By the way, the gospel is to the Jew first and also to the Greek. They're going to go down there and they're going to get right in the heart of that place and start preaching. And here's how they're going to do it. This is rough. They're going to have to rent out by that with first support money. Nobody's paying the rent of that building but them. We're going to give them a check if all the money comes in. But they got to pay for the place that's letting them use it as a church down there in the county. That cost how much? $50 an hour. So if they're there 2 hours, it costs them $100. If they're there three services and they're there 2 hours each service, it costs them $300. $300 out of their support. That's why it's so important all of us take part in their ministry.
Amen.
And they're going to go down. Here's how they're going to do it. They're going to start right out of their house, go to that, is it a Board of Education? Or
Arts and Cultural Center.
Have that big room, start a Bible study, start discipling the first members, get them saved, get them discipled, then get other churches to come in next April, and we'll go out and we'll pass out tracts to everybody in that county, 18,000 of them. We'll knock on that many doors. Then they open up Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Hopefully we'll get them a van. Hopefully they'll get a bus. Hopefully God will send them a driver. Hopefully God sends them a musician. Hopefully God sends them a pianist. And by the way, don't we take our music lightly?
Yeah.
Man, we got some of the greatest music in the world. We take it lightly. They're going down there with none. Because Michael Blake couldn't sing nothing. None. I'm done with this point. Now listen to me. I bring this chapter. I'm closing. They started there, but then the third place they went, which is on the west side of Cyprus. So they went all the way through Cyprus preaching. Didn't say anything about everybody that got saved. But they did. And it's not about nickels and noses. It's about lost people. And God sent them on the other side of Cyprus, the western side, to this town. And there was a sorcerer there. Now you heard the story, and I'm not going to preach all about him. But he was there. They had a deputy getting ready to be saved, and that guy was hindering the deputy from getting saved. And Saul Barnabas, by the power of God, struck him down and he got blinded for a season. That was grace, because he could have got blinded forever. And it's a fearful thing to start trying to uproot something that God's doing. And you don't want to be one of them people that try to upend God's work, because you may end up blind. But now, the reason I brought this story up is this reason. I'm done. Michael, I looked at the word sorcerer in that chapter, and it was someone that practiced witchcraft. But if you study the word and go to Revelation, the Bible said about mystery Babylon, or about political Babylon, they would not repent of their sorcery. I did a little study. I want all y'all to get this. That word sorcery in Revelation, it comes from the word pharmakia. Means drugs. I personally believe that political Babylon is going to fall because of their drug addiction. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this young man is going to a place where the drug addiction is 10 times worse than any city in America.
Amen.
They're going to be meeting people that shoot up every week. They're going to be meeting people that are satanic and wicked. They're going to be meeting drug pushers, drug addicts, and they're going to be amongst the worst. Tays Valley has enough drugs. And we have a lot in this county. But they have 10 times more we have. And you know how much we got. And they're going down there. You said, are they scared? I'm sure they're apprehensive. If they're not, they're ignorant. Because I'm apprehensive and I'm not going. But see, it's bigger than them. We need to plant this in your mind. The ministry is bigger than any of us. So here's what I want to do. You that are being baptized, go ahead and get ready. Go ahead and get baptized. Get up there and get ready. Mike and Michelle, won't you come up and get around this altar and bring your children if they're with you? Because they need protection. I am not only going to have the pastors and deacons, I want every church member that wants to pray around them. They're sent out from your church. Watch them. That's your representative.
Amen.
Let me ask you something. Would you pick up and just go down there? How about something? How many of y'all want to volunteer to go? Ain't nobody jumping up. You better not go unless you're called.
Amen, preacher.
Now, before I do that, I want to know how everybody that's saved in this room. Raise your hand if you're saved. I think everybody here is saved, but I'm just, if there's somebody not saved, will you raise your hand and tell me if you're not saved? Because I want to give you the gospel. All right. Mike, bow down here to the altar. Where are you going, Jared? Oh, you're baptizing. Okay. Deacons, preachers, as many church people want to. They're family. Well, Stephen Joyce, come on up here. All the preachers, deacons, anybody that wants, come out and pray over them. And we're going to lay hands on them just like they did in the Bible. Let's pray. Our Father, right now, I pray right now for Mike and Michelle and the kids. On this great commission tonight, Lord, I pray you'll touch them. I pray you'll use them. I pray, God, great things will happen to them. And Lord, I pray for your greatness in their life.
We say this is only something that God could have done.
God, thank you. Oh, Jesus.
Lord, that we can be vessels for you. Father, I pray.
Yes, Jesus.
Father, that you would just...
God bless Michelle. Bless Leah. Bless Andrew. God, raise them up for such a time as this. And we'll praise you. And we'll honor you and glorify you for what you've done.
Those people, Father, it's not going to be easy, but Father, it's going to be worth it. And Father, we thank you so much for how you bless. Lord, thank you so much.
Amen. Hallelujah. Bless your name, Jesus.
In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We're going to do some more of Bible stuff. The Great Commission, go ye in all the world, preach the gospel. And baptize them. We're doing that tonight too. I love you, boy. I love you, Michelle. Lee, I love you. Now, before they get ready to be baptized, everybody sit for a moment with your head bowed. If you have to leave, go ahead and leave. I ain't upset. But it's just 7. How many right now say, Preacher Smith, nobody looking? I think God's called me to preach. Preacher, I think God's called me to mission field. And I want you to pray for me. Is there anybody here feel God's call on you? Yes, I see that hand. Anybody else feel God's call on you? I see that hand. I'm going to pray for you tonight. Father, there's others, 3, 4 folks feel like they're being called. Now, Lord, I don't know when they are supposed to go and where they're supposed to go. But, Lord, I pray that if they're supposed to go and it is immediate, give them faith to step out. Step out in the unknown, believing that where you God, you'll provide. Scary to do this. But I do want to pray for all these people that raised their hand. I want to be their preacher. I want to help them. I want them to be in the perfect will of God. In Jesus' name, amen.